Lori Vallow hits the road. SLED issues an official statement regarding Stephen Smith. Accused wife killer and dentist appears in court. And a story about taking revenge just a little too far. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, everyone. You know the drill. Subscribe if you haven't. Like if you do. Hit that little bell for notifications and leave me a comment below. Remember, you can listen to us on any of your favorite podcasting apps. Go to crimetalksearch.com. Sign up for that background subscription service today. As soon as everybody signs up, guess what? I won't have to promote it anymore. But when you have that subscription service, you can do as many background searches as you desire. And remember, you can cancel at any time. But while you have that service, guess what? You can do a background search on anyone in the United States. And you are going to be able to find out, literally while you wait, if somebody has maybe been telling you the truth or maybe they haven't been completely truthful with you. I don't know. Things like, are they married? Do they have a criminal history? Are they on one of those public registries? That's right. Check them out. Information is power. You need to do the right thing. Heck, it could save your life. All right, let's go ahead and open the docket for March 23rd, 2023. Here we go. That's right. Lori Vallow has hit the road. Take a look at this picture. Yep, there she is. Looks like they stopped for a potty break on the way up to Ada County, up to Boise for her trial. As you may recall, the judge signed the transport order for Lori Vallow. Her trial is to begin on April 3rd. And guess what? She made it. She's officially an inmate at the Ada County Jail. She's even on the inmate roster. And look, we have a new picture, her new booking photo. Look at that. Getting all ready for trial. Look at her. It's only taken 3 years. And I'm not trying to throw stones here at the prosecution, but they've managed to screw this thing up literally from the beginning. The only other person that was involved in this case originally that could possibly have bungled it even worse than the prosecution has, well, was Lori Vallow's previous attorney, Mark Means. But the court did everything it could, and ultimately kicked him off the case. Makes you wonder if maybe somebody at the DA's office in this particular case, Madison and Fremont counties, maybe they should have asked the attorney general to step in, where they had a little bit more money, more resources, more attorneys to take on a case, ultimately, where the district attorneys thought the death penalty was appropriate, only to have it dismissed by the court because of their bungling, failing to turn over discovery items that should have been turned over literally at some point 3 years previous. I hope they get their game together, and let's see what the evidence is going to be. Next on the docket, SLED makes an official statement regarding Stephen Smith. Curiously, though, the word Murdoch, the name Murdoch, is not in the statement at all. So SLED detectives say that they were not asked to investigate Stephen Smith's 2015 hit and run death until years later when Alec Murdoch's wife and son were killed. Now, a new statement that was put out by the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, as we've all come to know as SLED, states that the agency did not look into the death of Buster Murdoch's classmate until 2021 after Margaret and Paul died. Now, SLED was not requested by the Hampton County Sheriff's Office or the South Carolina Highway Patrol to investigate Mr. Smith's death, they say in a statement. For those who are not familiar with this case, Stephen Smith's body was found alongside a rural road not far from the Murdoch's home, and police were later tipped off about an alleged relationship between Stephen Smith and Buster Murdoch. Now, a lot of this has come out in the Netflix and HBO documentaries regarding this. However, nobody has officially come forward, say, on the record to say they have definitive proof of this or whether it's just innuendos. So we got to give everybody the presumption of innocence. Now, Stephen Smith's mother, a woman by the name of Sandy, launched a GoFundMe page because she wanted to exhume his body and get a new unbiased look at his body and an accurate determination of his cause of death based upon the facts. This comes as a letter to the FBI written by Sandy in 2016 has also resurfaced. There, she implicates Buster Murdoch in her son's death and claims the investigation was deliberately derailed, despite there being no debris in the road and the injuries that were not consistent with a hit and run, according to Stephen Smith's mother. SLED did not further pursue the case. In this new statement released on March 22nd, SLED said at the time they had no reason to suspect anything out of the ordinary in the case. SLED's crime scene agents were dispatched from SLED's headquarters and responded to the scene, according to the statement, and upon arrival, SLED's crime scene agents processed the crime scene. The statement went on to say that it was only after medical examiners Dr. Aaron Presnell concluded Mr. Smith died from being struck by a motor vehicle that the case was basically closed. Due to the medical examiner's determination, the Hampton County Sheriff's Office requested the South Carolina Highway Patrol to investigate Mr. Smith's death. And once again, SLED wanted to make it be known and very clear, SLED was not requested by the Hampton County Sheriff's Office or the South Carolina Highway Patrol to investigate Mr. Smith's death in 2015. That changed, however, in June of 2021 after SLED opened an investigation into his death due to new information. Now, upon review, officials say it is then it appeared that Mr. Smith did not die from a hit and run. Now, the state patrol case notes it was apparent that the South Carolina Highway Patrol did not believe Mr. Smith's death was a hit and run by a motor vehicle, and SLED investigations into the death of Mr. Smith was never closed. They say that it remains an open investigation. They say not only is the ongoing investigation, as Smith's loved ones continue to push for the truth to come out. Now, detectives say they hope that people are now more willing to speak freely than they might have been back in 2015 or 2021. Obviously, the implication is that you don't have to worry about the Murdoch family anymore. So the question is, will somebody come forward and will they be able to establish something definitive to bring charges? Like I said, we don't know. Right now, it's speculation and innuendo. We can't say that Buster Murdoch had anything to do with that. And like I said, let's give him the presumption of innocence. Next on the docket, the Colorado dentist. Take a look at Jim Craig. He appeared in court the other day down in Arapahoe County, charged with first-degree murder after deliberation, and those formal charges have been officially filed against him. Now, when he walked into the courtroom in his shackles, well, let's just say he didn't make eye contact with any of the family and friends who had made their way to the small courtroom there to give his support. His parents arrived right about 8:30 with Craig's oldest son, Tolliver. Several of Craig's older children were also present in the courtroom. They sat quietly and did not show any emotion as their father entered the court. Now, Dr. Craig's mother let out a little bit of a gasp when seeing her son, who was unshaven and dressed in his little orange jail outfit that everybody gets to wear when they're in jail. Now, during the brief hearing, the judge deferred a defense request to put a temporary gag order on the Aurora Police Department. The public defender who appeared with the good doctor raised the motion objecting to statements made by the Aurora Police Department's chief in a press release on Mr. Craig's arrest, which she said were tantamount to a presumption of guilt. In it, the Aurora Police Department Division Chief Mark Hildeberg described Angela's death as a heinous, complex, and calculated murder. Now, Craig spoke only briefly during his morning court appearance, which lasted less than 10 minutes. He confirmed that he wanted to waive his right to a preliminary hearing within 35 days. Remember, he's charged with first-degree murder. There will be a proof-evident presumption great hearing, usually combined with the preliminary hearing, to see if he should be held without bail. He will currently be held without bail. And like I said, he has a right to that hearing within 35 days. He can waive that hearing right within 35 days, and it'll be set out several months so that his attorneys can prepare. Obviously, we'll wait and see if he hires private counsel or whether he's going to remain with the public defender, which he is entitled to while he remains in custody. The court did not make a ruling on the gag order request by the public defender's office, but said that they will do that at the preliminary hearing, which has a date to get a date, which is now set for April 7th. For those who aren't familiar with this case, Mr. Craig is charged with poisoning his wife, allegedly. His wife's name was Angela, and it is alleged that he was putting arsenic and potassium cyanide in her protein shakes. Nice guy. She first started feeling ill apparently back on March 6th and went to the hospital with a headache and nausea, but doctors were unable to find the cause of her illness. So what's a good doctor to do? Send her home. Angela returned to the hospital on March 15th and quickly deteriorated, suffering a seizure, and eventually passed away on March 18th. Prosecutors alleged that Craig wanted to set up a new life with his mistress in Texas, and that he even flew the mistress to Colorado to be with him while his wife received treatment in the hospital. Maybe he just needed a shoulder to cry on, right? Well, the mistress is also apparently an orthodontist, Karen Kane, and apparently she is in the midst of divorcing her husband. She may want to reconsider that one, huh? Anyway, disturbing text messages included in his arrest affidavit also show that Dr. Craig telling his wife that he loved her and asking about her condition in the days before she died. According to Angela's sister, statements that were put in the affidavit also revealed that he allegedly drugged Angela once before, 5 or 6 years ago. In that instance, he told her he wanted her knocked out so that she couldn't intervene with his suicide attempt. Now, the couple is Mormon, and they have 6 children, and apparently appeared to be that they had a perfect life with Angela proudly displayed on their social media accounts. However, behind closed doors, Jim apparently had run his dental practice into the ground and blown their life savings on gambling. This is all according to the sister. Dr. Craig was arrested after colleagues went to the police to report their suspicion that he had actually poisoned his wife. The colleagues told how they intercepted a delivery of potassium cyanide to the office earlier in the week and right about the time that she started feeling sick. We're definitely going to continue to follow this case because, hey, it's just right down the street, so to speak, from us. And it's always interesting. Successful guy. Everything looks perfect on the outside, but apparently it's not. There's a reason why they call it fake book, right? It's usually fake. Have you ever noticed how everyone who's always happy on Facebook usually gets a divorce shortly thereafter? Just saying. Who are they trying to make everyone think everything is okay? Anyway, a couple guys took revenge just a little too seriously. 2 men were convicted of murdering a California man because he caused a DUI crash, injuring one of the defendants. Now, the defendants are Robert Manor and Victor Merle Gray, and they now face a possible sentence of life in prison without the possibility of parole, and that hearing is scheduled for April 28th. Prosecutors alleged and proved that the victim, Raymond Wright, had been a DUI driver who caused a auto accident in 2011, in which Manor and his wife were severely injured. The felony case ended with Wright serving jail time and ultimately receiving probation. Manor, though, held a bit of a grudge against the victim for years and put his plan for revenge into motion back in 2018. Wright, a divorced father of 3, disappeared from Rockland, California on January 11th of 2018. That was the last that anyone had heard from him. And obviously, relatives became worried, had a welfare check at his home, as well as a shop that he rented in the Rio Lindo area near Sacramento. On January 13th, 2018, Wright's brother encountered a strange man inside of Wright's residence and called the police. The man ran out of the house, but a soda cup filled with a fresh drink was found in the kitchen. The straw from the cup was tested for DNA and uploaded into the CODIS database. That's the database where if you've been arrested for or convicted of a felony, they can compare you to everybody else's DNA. So Mr. Wright's truck turned up in Sacramento several days later. And even after all this time, however, authorities have found none of his remains. Nonetheless, prosecutors said they were able to identify Mr. Gray as the strange man and also discover a key evidence in the murder. According to the police, they encountered Mr. Gray as part of another DUI crash and they said that Mr. Gray was under the influence and led state troopers on a high-speed chase back in January of 2018. There was a crash resulting in injury, according to the prosecutors, and Gray's van was towed, and when authorities searched it, they found a blood-soaked raincoat, Mr. Wright's wallet, and some of the missing man's other property. Much of the property was charred, and the blood on the raincoat matched the victim's DNA, according to the police. Further investigation revealed a letter from Mr. Gray to Manor complaining about not being paid for delivering dude, and asked Manor to take care of the person who had delivered you your revenge. Other evidence also linked Manor to the revenge killing and the hiring of Gray to kidnap the victim from his shop in Rio Lindo. Officials said that the DNA found in Wright's kitchen matched Gray, a convicted felon. Both defendants were convicted Friday on first-degree murder with the special circumstances. That's right. The murder was committed during the commission of a kidnapping. They were also found guilty of kidnapping for ransom, causing death. Like many Americans, we got a dog during the pandemic. My quarantine dog, Miss Winnie the Bulldog. Now, Miss Winnie has grown accustomed to being around us all the time. When we were leaving the house, Winnie would have extreme anxiety, so we decided to look for natural products to help with her anxiety. We looked for the highest quality CBD treats, and we were not satisfied, and neither was Winnie. So we created a high-quality CBD product that absorbs faster and provides the required results faster. Baked in Colorado, CBD treats and beverage enhancers are made with nanotechnology. The nanotechnology makes the CBD extraction more pure, also allows for Baked in Colorado products to work faster. Baked in Colorado products can help reduce your pet's anxiety, ease joint pain, and help with your dog's skin problems. Go to our online store and see what Baked in Colorado product is best for your dog. When you order at bakedincolorado.com, enter code Winnie and receive 15% off your first order. We have a 30-day money-back guarantee. If your dog does not experience the desired results in 30 days, return the product and we will refund your money. No questions asked. And finally today, our dumb criminal of the day. More food crime. A Florida man. It pains me to say that. Why is it always the Florida man? Well, a Florida man slapped his wife in the face with a slice of pizza during an argument. Police were called Friday afternoon to a residence in Marion County, Florida, in response to a 911 hangup. Upon arrival at the home, the officers encountered Ortorio Alfonso, who said that he had a verbal altercation with his wife, according to the probable cause affidavit. The victim said the dispute turned violent, telling officers that Alfonso grabbed a slice of pizza and slapped her in the face, in the left side of her face, with it. The woman said that the couple had been arguing about disciplining their children. A police officer noted that the woman had pizza sauce all over her shirt and the remnants of pizza in her hair and ear area. Additionally, the officers reported, quote, "I observed there to be pizza sauce on the walls and the ceiling of the kitchen area, which further corroborated the victim's statement." Maybe she's just a messy eater. It's possible. Anyway, after being handcuffed and advised of his Miranda rights, Alfonso reportedly admitted to striking the victim with the slice of pizza in the face, and they'd also threw the pizza and did not physically strike the victim with his hands, just the pizza. Alfonso, didn't help you at all, okay? You can't strike people with anything, including your hands. Just remember that. Needless to say, Mr. Alfonso was arrested on a misdemeanor battery count and booked in the county jail, from which he was promptly released. Anyway, he works as a landscaper in Ocala and is scheduled for an arraignment on March 29th. All right, that's all we have for you today. It was a quick show today. Got to go do some of that lawyer stuff. All right, thanks for watching. See you next time on Crime Talk.